You may be seated. Wow, I feel kind of unworthy after all that move of God to be up here. But as my husband said, about a month ago, the Lord gave me a thought. He just kind of dropped something in my heart. And I started pondering and reflecting upon it. And I told my husband, I said, you know, I think I want to speak on Mother's Day. And he encouraged me to go ahead. Because like he said, I don't really like to preach about mothers on Mother's Day. But as you know, it's not a usual occurrence for me to speak on this day. And this is not going to be a traditional Mother's Day message. But I believe it's what God wants us to know and understand today and going forward. And after Brother Patrick's message during Sunday school today, the scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And as I go forward, you'll understand that. But yesterday, I was also having a little bit of self-doubt. Like, can I tell you what God laid on my heart? Can I give it to you and you receive it and understand what God wants us to know today? And then I got on social media. And I looked at Facebook, and Sister Judy Harper, she took my message right out from me. And so I am going to read to you her post on Facebook, because it's exactly what God gave me to speak to you. And before I read that, I'm going to tell you that I was praying up here before service, the first service, and she came up with Sister Ramona, and they prayed for me. And at the end, she said, the Lord spoke to me and told me to come pray for you today. And I said, well, I'm glad you did, because that just helped me more know that I'm supposed to be up here, even though I don't feel like I'm going to give it out to you, but hopefully you will. So Sister Harper says on social media, Facebook yesterday, thinking about the reason the church is referred to as a mother. When she is working in unity with all members, there will be giving, even sacrificial giving. We're going to build a church in Haiti. Encouragement to all. Prayer as part as her attributes. Discerning the heart of those in need. Administering care during crises of sickness and hurts. An unfailing love, even when undeserved. I just described my mom, but also my church. And that's my message. That today. I'm going to try to explain a little bit more. When we moved into our house that we're currently living in, that was December 14th of 2007, so almost 10 years. This is important to my story because December is our daughter's, Kalo's, birthday. It's also, as you know, Christmas and holiday youth convention to all the young people. They know that. And Kayla has always felt that her birthday gets lost in the holiday. But we've always tried to make it a separate event, a big separate event. Don't ever wrap her birthday present in Christmas wrapping, all right? Just giving you that hint. That's a no-no. But I also started a job. So this was a Friday. We closed on our house, and we started moving Friday and Saturday. And I started a new job that Monday, December 17th. So as you can see, it was quite a hectic month. But Kayla decided to invite a few friends to come home with her for a couple days after holiday youth convention. So keep in mind, we're still settling into our new home. And our furniture, when you walk into our house, on the left is a living room and on the right is a dining room, a very small dining room. But we did not yet have living room furniture, so our living room was empty, totally empty, except for some boxes that needed to be unpacked. So imagine my surprise when I got home from work, from my new job, that my whole living room was filled with suitcases, and young adults in my home. So I thought, you know, she was going to invite maybe two or three guests to come home with her. She had invited eight young adults to come home with her. We had eight in my home. So imagine the suitcases, right? Four girls, four guys. So in our we had a guest room that had like a futon, and then some of the guys had, you know, thankfully brought some sleeping bags, because Jared was not going to allow anyone to stay in his room, which is still fondly known as Jared's room. And Kayla's room is still fondly known as Kayla's room, even though it's the guest room now. But 8 people, think about that. And I'm still moving into my home. And I'm like, Kayla, 8 people. Well, Mom, they all wanted to come, you know, because I was talking about your cooking, you know, and how good you cook. And so they all want to come and eat your food. I'm like, oh, great. I'm working a job, you know. And I mean, it wasn't like, you know, a 9-to-5 job. It was like a 9 until you're finished job. And I was like, okay, well, Lord bless you, okay. And so Kayla had the menu all planned out. You know, children, they do that for you. I mean, she was a young adult. She was 21 probably. And she wanted, on Sunday, because they were here for the weekend, she wanted chicken and dumplings and homemade banana pudding. And anybody that cooks that, I mean, homemade banana pudding, you stir and you cannot move from the stove. So, you know, but our dining room is very small. The builder obviously didn't have a family when he built this dining room. It was a very small dining room. And so the table that was in it was a fixed table. It sat 6 people. That's all that we could fit around it. We could scrunch some of the skinny durwas around it, you know. But, you know, it was really made for 6 people. So I have an antique drop leaf table that my mother-in-law gave me, and we would add that to the end of that table to extend the table out so that we could seat more people. Unfortunately, when we extended it out, it was like right in the doorway. So like you couldn't come in or out until somebody moved and we moved the table. And anyway, we'll get to that. So I extended the table because there were 12 of us for dinner on Sunday, and we squished around the table, all 12 of us. And we enjoyed some good food and much laughter. Even though it wasn't a convenient time for me to entertain 8 additional people, as the mother, I wanted my daughter to enjoy time with her friends, and I tried my best to make that happen. Being a mother, as the mothers know, can be inconvenient at times. But a mother's love goes beyond the inconvenience to make her children happy. We are the body of Christ, and we are the mother. We are the mother. And it was really hard for me to want to say about this, because when God laid it on my heart, that was the story that he brought to my remembrance, is about us squishing around that table because I was trying to make room, because there's always room at Mama's table. And so we are the body of Christ, we are the mother, and a mother doesn't love one child more than the other. Now, there may be some, you know, instances where that could be, but in my own life, I can tell you, I don't love one child more than the other. I love my children the same, because they're a part of me. No matter what that child, where that child goes or what that child does, they remain a piece of her. You know, there are men and women in prison, even on death row, whose mothers have never given up on them because that's their child. And if you hear them in interviews, they'll say, that's my baby. They always say that, that's my baby. And because you never, ever, no matter what your child does, you always love them. And so we, as the body of Christ, as the mother, we need to set aside our ideas of what the church is and be reminded of what God wants the church to be, what he wants us as individuals to be. So Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, and this is a lengthy passage of scripture, but sometimes I think that ministers, they kind of like just go over the passage because they think you know it. But I want you to hear it today, because this is the word of God. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. Now, this was Paul writing to the Corinthian church, but we can use this for today. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would it make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. We were all the same, right? Now, you know, mothers, no matter how many children you have, they're all different, right? So, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And I can tell you, when you have a bad eye, you need that eye. So I really can't see anybody out of that eye. So the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And this part, to me, is so important. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require the special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among members, so that all members care for each other. As Brother Patrick was saying, we need each other. If one part suffers, if one part of the body suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And then Paul goes on to say, here are some, just some of the parts that God has appointed to the church, and he lists a few. And then he says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the powers to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. He's like, no, that's not how it is. But you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And then I like this, how it says, and this is the New Living Translation, just in case you're wondering, those King James Version people. Paul says, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If this sounds familiar, this is exactly what Brother Patrick read today earlier. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. A mother's love is just like that. It's constant. She loves when others may not. She sees the good in her children, and don't you dare talk bad about them. If you want to say that, you just go where she can't hear. Don't be talking about my kids now. I can talk about my kids, but you sure can. All right? Her love, a mother's love, overlooks faults and failures. And she always wants the best for her children. When we can begin to understand how God wants us to function as his body, as his church, then we can be correct before him. Now, this is hard for me to say because I'm not the pastor, but I am the pastor's wife. And so I do share a burden with my husband. But obviously, today, as Brother Patrick, with my one eye, I can see. There you go. As Brother Patrick, he come up to me, he goes, "You're using the same scripture I'm using." I said, "Well, then God must be trying to tell somebody something." That's all I'm telling you. Okay? God laid this on my heart a month ago, and he's been dealing with me all of this time. So I want you to understand that this is not something that I'm just coming up here to take up time, you know, so my husband doesn't have to preach a Mother's Day sermon. He wants us to get this. He wants us to live this. So all throughout the Apostle Paul's writing to the different churches, he deals with all types of issues in those churches. And if you've ever read the Bible through, which I hope you have, you can see every type of human failing. He addresses them in the books that he writes. I'm talking about crazy stuff, like things that I won't even say here from the pulpit because it's just crazy, all right? So I'm telling you, the way humans are today, they were just like that, all right? Paul addressed people who were educated and influential, rich and poor. He talked about the slaves and those that are free. He spoke to those who felt they had a special calling, but they needed to be guided and directed. His letters to the churches are our instructions for today. And so I just kind of went through a few because I knew which way direction I wanted to go. So these are my scriptures from Paul. Let all you do be done in love. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. Now, this is from Paul. This is not from Dawn McGuire. This is from Paul. That was Philippians, just in case you're wondering. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. So are you seeing a common theme? So the scripture that God really impressed upon me was Colossians 3, 12 through 15. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, God chose you. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. So he says, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So I love Sister Harper's description, and I'm going to repeat it again. When she, the church, she's talking about the mother, the church, is working in unity with all members, there will be giving, even sacrificial giving, encouragement to all, prayer as part of her attributes. We have prayer meeting on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. I'm going to put that little plug in, just let you know. Discerning the hearts of those in need. I'm a pastor's wife. Hey, I can do that. Administering care during crisis of sickness and hurts. And unfailing love, even when undeserved. Now, as a mother, I know there have been times that my children surely didn't deserve my love. They did everything that I told them not to do. But I still loved them. I always loved them. I still love them. Even though my daughter lives in Cincinnati, I still love her. So going back to my table story. When I needed to have more people around my table, I made room for them. I added my drop leaf table to extend it. So we need to make room for each other at our table. In our natural lives, we need to include different people in our circle. You need to invite different people to eat with you. You know, there's some other cool, pretty cool people in this church, in this body of Christ. But in our spiritual lives, we need to learn to love unconditionally, to make allowances for each other's faults. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you have faults? All right. There we go. Nothing else needs to be said. We need to show mercy. I'm telling you, God wants you to know this today. We need to show mercy. We need to be kind to one another. Have patience and try to understand what our brothers and sisters are going through. Don't be easily offended. Forgive one another. And if you see that your brother or sister is going through a difficult situation, don't make it more difficult by discussing it with others. Pray for them. Encourage them. They need it. Consider that it could be you in that situation. And how would you want others to treat you? That's the golden rule. As a mother, we always say, now you better treat others the way you want to be treated, right? So I now have a larger dining room table. It wouldn't fit into what the home builder decided should be the dining room. It was really small. So I changed my house plan up. I decided, well, I don't want that to be that. So I sold my furniture that was in my family room, which makes more sense because there's a bar, you know, for my kitchen that goes right to my family room. So now I have a very large farmhouse table that seats a whole lot of people. On one side, it's a long bench. I say that a lot of smaller people can fit into, like, you know, skinny derwas. That's what I use. Or one Mimi and two or more grandkids, because they have to sit with Mimi. We sit on that bench. As a mother, my love has been expanded by grandchildren, and my life has been changed, and my table is bigger. So I'm talking today about the fact that we, the church, we are a mother of people that come in here, and we need to extend love and mercy and forgiveness and grace just like a mother would to her children, and treat each other the way we want to be treated. So I have a bigger table now, and I was given permission to make this announcement because it fit in with my bigger table analogy. But Keith and Esther Durwall's table is going to be bigger in December. Because Alexis and David are having a baby. I feel very privileged to make that announcement. So the table is going to be bigger, all right? As God's church, we individually need to grow and expand. And our reach should always extend to each other and to those outside these walls so that our table can include everyone. So after each service on Sunday, Pastor and I and some of our ministry team, we head on back to our hospitality room to meet our first-time guest. Our aim is to make room at this table, in this congregation, for all who desire to be a part. We may not get to speak with you at each service, and we're sorry about that. But our aim is to expand the kingdom. We want more people to join us at this table. So I'm asking us that we practice these principles every day so that we can affect God's kingdom. I want you to examine yourself. And that's what this is about, to examine yourself and say, God, I know I'm not perfect, and I'm preaching to the choir back here, y'all, because I'm not perfect. And I thought, well, maybe God just wanted me to know this. But he really didn't. He kept telling me, no, you need to get up. And so that's why I'm here today, to tell you that this is something that we as a church, as the body of Christ, need to embrace and put into our lives. Let's clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, like a mother would to her child. Let's make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends us, because the Lord forgave us, so we must forgive others. And above all, let's clothe ourselves with love, because love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. So let's be what God has called us to be. We're the church. We are his body. We are the mother. And think of that. Now, I know men, you're like, I have kids. I don't know what a mother's like. And you really don't. But I'm going to tell you, the scriptures that I read, those qualities and characteristics are exactly what a mother is, feels. We have unconditional love for our children. And our kids are not perfect. The church is not a perfect place. We are humans. And God has addressed all of these issues, all the issues that we face in the Bible, in Scripture. You can find the answer for whatever you need. And like Brother Patrick said today, I want to make it to heaven. And I'm not going to let anybody or anything keep me from heaven. That's my goal. But I want to take you with me. I want you to go with me. So that's all I have. I just want you to understand that we need to make room at the table, at Mama's table. Extend yourself a little bit out of your normal comfort zone, and make friends with other people, even outside the church, because that's our goal, is to bring those people in to be part of the body of Christ. So let's stand. And you can sing with me.